Christ. Can you imagine what it will be like to sing like that for an eternity around the throne of God? I want to dedicate tonight's sermon to Gary McKnight. The title of the sermon is Not Older, Just Better. Gary is 39 and holding for two more days. Really, I did not have him in mind when I prepared the lesson, but I just couldn't resist Gary. And let me just say this in passing, there's no question about the better part. I appreciate so much what Gary does in leading our singing, and he is worth so much to our work here. About 6 weeks or 2 months ago, I received a letter from a community organization. I assume the letter was sent out to every preacher in this area, suggesting that May 29th was being set aside as a day to honor senior citizens, and suggested that we preachers in the area on May the 29th at some time or another preach a lesson or do something to honor our members that are a little bit older. And so I planned the lesson, Not Older, Just Better, and what I really forgot was not Gary's birthday, but the fact that I had one this past week. We need to appreciate our older members. You know, we talk a lot about our younger folks, the group that sits here in front of me. And when I look at that list of over 60 young people, the 7th through the 12th grade, and when I see these young folks here, and when I have an opportunity to be with them in classes, I'm so thankful for them. And they're a wonderful group, and they're an important group. When I have an opportunity occasionally to meet with the primetime class that meets over in the educational building on Sunday morning, although a few of them in there are grandparents, most of them are younger adults, at least would like to think so. And I appreciate that group. And even this summer, that group is having almost 100 people in the class. And a lot of good is being done by our younger adults and our middle-aged adults. And when I think about that group, I'm very appreciative of what they do. I think about our college students, though we don't have as many during this summer, I realize that they're an important part. But folks, we have a group of people in this congregation here sometimes that we may overlook that may be one of the most important groups that we have. And I have reference to our senior members. I don't know where to draw the line when you start talking about senior members. That's where you get into trouble, especially if you're talking to the ladies. If you're going to wait until you're a senior citizen to eat at Catfish Cabin, you've got to wait till you're 65. That frustrates me. Now, I'm going to see what I can do about that. There are some other restaurants that you're considered a senior member at 55. And there are some others that have been considering me a senior member since I was 35. And so when you're talking about senior members, it's not always the age that we're talking about. But folks, I am so appreciative of the older members that we have in this congregation and the wisdom that they have. 4 of our 10 elders are past 80. And I am appreciative of the wisdom that they have. I'm appreciative of the wisdom of all our elders, but these 4 men particularly have lived longer than the rest. They've lived much longer than I. They are experienced in some areas where I've not had the experience. And I leave the meeting every Sunday afternoon after having met with the elders, having this reaffirmed to me of how grateful I am that these 4 men, particularly, and all the elders in general, but these 4 men have had the experience. And there are some times that they can point out some things to me that are very helpful and help me stay out of some corners because of their experience. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get out to do physical work and you don't want to be worked to the bone, don't go with J.W. Johnson. I not only work with him here at church, I'm in the Lions Club with him. And if we have a project to work, I want him on my side. I'll work with him a while and rest and then get back up and continue working with him. I am appreciative of our older members. And we have some ladies here who are advanced in years. Is that a good way to say it? Who are mature, at least, that are worth so much to our work. I could single out several, but let me just mention Sister Louise Dixon, who at one time was First Lady of the University. And I listened to the other ladies, especially some of the younger ladies, talk. When Sister Dixon is going to be teaching one of the classes, they all want to be there because they appreciate her for her knowledge and her experience and her soundness. And I could mention other qualities. And there are so many of the rest of you ladies, many of you that at least have many years of experience that are worth so much to our work. And when we have our vacation Bible school this year, some of our ladies who are advanced in years at least will be right in there working with us and serving the refreshments and involved in some of the teaching centers and in other ways. We need to be so appreciative of our older members. And when I call you an older member, I do it out of respect. Somewhat like Paul told Timothy to look at the older men as fathers and the older women as mothers and the younger men as brothers and the younger women as sisters, 1 Timothy 5. And there are many of you men and women in the audience that I could feel comfortable coming to tonight and thinking of you as my father or my mother. And there are times that I ask questions because my dad and mother are not here. I ask questions of you, and you become a substitute in a sense for my dad and my mother. We need to be so thankful for our older members. Did you notice in the passage that Howard read a few minutes ago from 1 Kings what happened? And you really can only understand the significance of it to put it in the proper setting. This was really the beginning of the divided kingdom. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, went to the older men and said, "What advice do you give me?" And they basically said, "You be a servant to the people, and they'll follow you." And he did not read on down far enough or back earlier enough to get all that was involved there. But Rehoboam went to the young men, and he said, "What do you suggest?" And they said, "You need to be stricter. Where your father was hard in some, you need to get stronger and let your little finger be as strong as he was basically entirely." And the one verse that Howard read a moment ago that I hope you listened to, Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the older men and listened to the counsel of the younger men. Now I realize that there are a lot of younger men, even in our work, who have a lot to offer. And there are younger men that I value as friends, and I value your advice because of your experience in certain areas where I have not had the opportunity to be experienced. But I think if we look at the situation with Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12 and bring that over, that principle over into the New Testament, and see that when God said you select elders, you select men with a little bit of age, at least to where he's not a novice. And to where he is capable of convincing the gainsayers. He said, when you are going to select people to lead you in the work of the church, you need some experience. And you need some men with ability that has been proven. And you need some men who are old enough to have a family and have children in that family to where there has been in the different relationships. You need some men with some experience. And I think we ought never to get away from that. We need to appreciate our older members. Even as we are in the process of making decisions relative to the new buildings, the new building that we will build and the alteration on this one, much has been said about what is needed by our older members. Some of you may very well think that we look just at the younger people when we're looking at things like this, but that's not so. We are looking at our younger group, and many of the things that we are planning, we're planning with them in mind because we believe our younger group will probably bring as many or more to Christ through their work than any group. But there has hardly been a discussion relative to expansion, but that we have talked about what can we do for our older members to have a place where they can come and have some room and be together and do things together and enjoy Christian fellowship and be an encouragement one to another. And as we have been looking in the last few days, and by the way, by the end of this week, we should be able to have information to where we can make some detailed announcements to the congregation. But as we have been looking at what can we do and what can we leave out and still not hurt our work, and what can we include, those areas that have to do with benevolence, where we can help others, and those areas that have to do with having room where our older people can be involved, we all come back, always come back, let's keep this, let's do this if it's at all possible. Because we believe that our older members here are an extremely important part of the work of the church. We've lost a lot of our older members in death in the last 2 or 3 years. If you just stop and let your mind wander around this auditorium 2 years ago, 3 years ago, just think of the people who were sitting over here and over here and somewhere in the auditorium that are not with us anymore. And if God permits this earth to stand and we continue our work in the next 2 years, there are some of us in this auditorium tonight who will meet the point of death. There's no doubt in my mind that that will happen. That's a part of God's plan just as much as life is a part of God's plan. But folks, we need to learn how to grow old. Some have said to grow old gracefully. I don't think that really says it all. We need to learn how to grow old and use every year in the Lord's service. Wear out in the Lord's service. I see some of you that are getting on up into years slowing down a little bit. I see some changes in the way you go about things in life. But at the same time that many of you are having to begin to slow down a little bit physically, your mind is gaining, and in many instances, there's the information and the wisdom that's even greater than it was 2 or 3 years ago. I hear people say, I hate the thought of growing old. I'm looking forward to it, especially considering the alternative. I have said I plan to preach till I'm 100. May not be anybody that'll listen. But I'm looking forward to the years that are ahead. Since I've been prematurely gray, I've been considered old for the last 20 years anyway, so I'm getting experience in my young and middle years of what you do when you're older, so I may be better prepared when I get there. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to doing something in the Lord's kingdom as long as I'm alive and have a mind that can work at least partway. I may not be able to do what I'm doing today, but I'm looking forward to my older years when they come. And I encourage every one of you to do that. I would encourage every one of you here tonight who's above 80, and there's several of you in the audience above 80. When you pillow your head tonight, thank God that you're alive, and thank God that you have the blessings that you have. And ask Him to help you to continue to serve Him no matter how long you live. In order to help us appreciate that as we get older, we're not really older but better, let me share with you as a way of reminder some stories from the Bible. In Genesis 12, when Abram left Haran, he was 75. I don't know how old he was when he left Ur of Chaldees. He'd spent some time here in Haran. His father had died there. But when he left there and God told him to move on toward the land that he had promised, he was 75. When God came to him and told him that he was going to have a son, he was 99. And when his son Isaac was born, he was 100 and his wife was 90. Now, I know people lived a little longer at that time. Abraham was 175 when he died. And from this time of 100 on, he did a lot of wonderful things in the work of God. But be that as it may, and comparatively speaking, at least they were past what was considered childbearing age. Sarah indicates that. But at 90 and 100, Isaac was born. In Exodus, the 7th chapter, verses 6 and 7, when God selected Moses and Aaron to go down and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83. Moses lived to be 120, and usually we block his life into three periods of 40. 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. When did Moses do his best work? In the last third of his life. There is a sense in which he prepared for 80 years to be able to work for 40. He did the best part of his work in the last one-third of his life. And when God buried him on Mount Nebo, it says at that time that he was still physically and mentally sharp. But God had told him he couldn't go any further at that time. Could it be that some of you can do the best work for the Lord that you've ever done in the last third of your life? Maybe as serving as an elder in the Lord's church, 1 Timothy 3, and even the widows that were taken into the number were above 60, and they seemingly were involved in helping in some way to serve the Lord. Opportunities to serve the Lord must have been given to them. Moses, in the last third of his life, accomplished his greatest work. When they came over into the land of Canaan, in Joshua 14, 10, and 12, Caleb said, "Give me the mountain. I want the place where the giants are. I'm not afraid of it." And he said, "I'm 85 now." It was 45 years ago that Moses began his leadership, basically speaking, and that was about the time, generally speaking, that Caleb was one of those spies that went over into the land and saw the giants. He knew they were there, but he also knew it was milk and honey, and he also knew God was with him. He was 85 years old. And when some of the others were beginning to balk and back up and say, "We can't take this mountain," Caleb said, "Give me the mountain." I suggest to you that there may be some mountains in our work that will be better conquered with the leadership of some of you that are a bit older and who are not afraid of a mountain. I don't know exactly how old Elijah was, but I know it was in his later years that he confronted the prophets of Baal. He was outnumbered, and if you'd been looking at popularity, it wouldn't have been on his side, but he, in that older age, with God's help, put the prophets of Baal to shame and defended the truth of God. I don't know how old John was when he was on the Isle of Patmos, but he was an older man. If he were about the age of Jesus, and if the Revelation letter was written when most seem to think it was, he may have been near 100 years old. But he still had something that he could do in the Lord's kingdom. I don't know how old Paul was when he said, "I've fought a good fight and finished the course and kept the faith." I know that he was at the point of death and realized that he was. He was old enough that he could refer to a 40-year-old man as a young man. Timothy may have been close to 40 when he was talking to him calling him his son. And seemingly some of the best work that the Apostle Paul ever did was in those last few years, some of it in prison, and some of it even in the household of Caesar. Some of the best work that's ever been done by God's people has been done in those last few years. And the reason is that we gain in talents with age. Oh, we may not gain in how many pounds we can lift or how fast we can run. But when you look at the overall situation, I submit to you that we gain in talents with age and experience if we live as we should. And therefore, wisdom in counsel, wisdom in advice, wisdom in leadership in any kind of endeavor, and especially in the Lord's work, is made possible by those who are not just older, but are better because of their work and their experience and their seasoning and their dedication to the Lord's cause. We need to thank God for our older members. At the same time that we thank Him for our boys and girls and our teenagers and our college age members and our young adults, and our middle-aged adults, I submit to you tonight that one of the most important parts of our work, if you divided it down into parts, and we want to be careful about doing that because we're all one, but one of the most important parts and factors, let us say, in our work is found with those of you who are advanced a little bit in years but who still have a strong, grounded, rooted faith, and have the wisdom to counsel and lead some of the rest of us who've not had that much experience. God bless our older members. May their tribe increase, and may we appreciate them for what they are. If you stop and think about what we're saying tonight, we're just simply saying that everybody is important in the Lord's work, and that God wants each one of us, and He wants to use us where we are. He doesn't want you older members to act like teenagers. He doesn't want teenagers to act like older members. He just needs us where we are with what we have. If you are an older person tonight or a younger person and you're not a Christian or not a faithful Christian, you have something to offer, and you can offer it in the Lord's kingdom. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to come back home, the Lord's invitation is yours as together we stand and sing.
Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. Why not? Why not?